Mark chapter number 16, and we want to preach what God has laid on our heart this morning. And we know we're not the greatest preacher in the world, but I'm thankful that I get to preach about the greatest Savior, the greatest Lord, the greatest God, the greatest King that ever was, and His name is Jesus. And I want you to focus on Him this morning and not on my inabilities, but just focus on His ability to do all that you stand in need of. If you have found Mark 16 and you're able, we would invite you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 of Mark 16. The Bible says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? In verse number 3, it says, "And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. He still moves the stones. Amen. He still moves the stones. I've read a lot of things in the Bible, and there's a few things that just really always pop out at me. I've read the Bible from cover to cover several times, and I like the passage of Scripture over in Proverbs that says, "The sluggard says, there's a lion in the street." In another place it says, "The sluggard says, there's a lion in the way." There are sometimes people that make excuses for not doing stuff, amen? For not doing things. They don't want to do it, so they don't want to go out of the house. Or, "I can't go out of the house. There's a lion in the street. I can't get out there. Something's going to happen to me if I go out because there's a lion in the street. I can't go do what God wants me to do. Well, my lands, there's a lion in the street." There's one thing to make excuses. There's another thing to have concerns. And sometimes we have concerns as to how things are going to happen and how things are going to be fulfilled. These ladies were on their way to the sepulcher, and they weren't making excuses, but they had concerns about how they were going to get in to do the job that they had purposed in their hearts to do. It's been said many times that the stone was never moved to let Jesus out. He didn't need anyone to move the stones for him, but the stone was moved to let us in. That we might see that he had truly risen, that we might see that the tomb was empty, that we might see and we might know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has accomplished exactly what he said he was going to do as he defeated death, hell, and the grave in that garden tomb there in Jerusalem. And sometimes we go through life and we find that there are obstacles in our way. We find out that there are things we can't get past. We have fear and we have obstacles of trying to get past our fears. We have doubts and we have fears of dealing with our doubts. We face trials and tribulations, and we don't even know how to begin to contend with the things that are facing us in our life. And we find that there are obstacles in the way. And so many of those obstacles are a lack of our understanding of the truth of God's Word. The truth is, Jesus wants to make you free. He said, "He whom the Son makes free is free indeed." Amen. And praise God, I want you to know something this morning. If you're bound by anything, He can set you free. Amen. You might be bound by addiction. He can set you free. You might be bound by debt. He can set you free. You might be bound by depression. He can set you free. You might be bound by whatever it is that you're dealing with and you're struggling with this morning. And let me tell you something. I can assure you, because I've been in most of these places, He can set you free. Amen. I tell folks all the time that are struggling with addictions that rebirth will do what rehab could never begin to accomplish. Amen. And I can take you to people that have found and people that will attest to that truth and that hope that you can find in Jesus Christ. Amen. I've known people, and don't get me wrong, depression is a real thing. Any preacher that'll stand before you and tell you that you need to throw your medicine away if you're on depression and you're a Christian, you tell that big old fat slob to go home and throw his heart medicine away, to throw his blood pressure medicine away, to throw his insulin away, and to throw all the things that he has away, because if God can deal with the mental problem, and why can't his God deal with his physical problems? Amen. But let me tell you what. Walking close to the Savior, walking close to Jesus, amen, can turn depression into a praise, can turn darkness into light, can turn hopelessness into help. He can do what no one else can do. Why is that? Because he's rolled the stone away. He's rolled the stone away. I want to preach to you just on a few thoughts this morning on removing the stones of doubt. And he still removes the stones. Listen, point number one. The obstacle to salvation has been settled. The obstacle to salvation has been settled. I've had so many people tell me, "Well, preacher, you don't know where I've been, and you don't know what I've done." It doesn't matter. It's been settled, amen. They say, "But you don't realize how bad I am and the things I've done." It doesn't matter. It's been settled on an old rugged cross. The debt of sin was paid, amen. An empty tomb. I'm getting fast. I'm trying to hurry, brother. Dinner's awaiting. Praise God. An empty tomb stands to prove, praise God, that the sacrifice has been accepted. If you don't believe that and you want to have assurance of that and you want to remove the stone of doubt of the reason why you can't get saved, look over in Romans chapter number 4 with me for just a moment. Verse 20. He's talking about Abraham and his trusting God by faith. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. What was his faith? His believing God. His believing that God was able to accomplish what he said he was going to do. Verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, salvation has already been settled. It's not about you. It's not about how bad you've been or where you've been or what you've done, but it's about what has been accomplished and what has been finished on Calvary. He was delivered for our offenses. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. He died for every man's sin, that every man might be able to know and be assured that he could have salvation in Jesus Christ. And that empty tomb with that stone rolled away that morning proved that God had accomplished exactly exactly what he said he was going to do. Salvation has been settled. Amen. There are some folks that say, I don't really know if I can trust and believe the Bible. I've heard people say, it's been written by so many different people, and it's so confusing, it's so mixed up. No, there's complete continuity from Genesis 1:1 to the very last amen in the book of Revelation. Amen. Amen. There's only one author. There's been several scribes. Amen. But there's only been one author. God is the author of this book. God is the author of this word. Amen. And it's a word that is true. It's a word that has never failed. It's a word that never can fail because it was spoken and it was written and it was delivered by a God. The Bible tells us that cannot make a mistake and cannot fail. Amen. And you want a proof of it. The empty tomb is again a proof of just exactly what the word of God is able to do and what the word of God can accomplish. Over in Luke in chapter 24, the angel, when they came looking for Jesus, he told them, said, let's read it over in Luke 24 and verse number 5. And they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Now listen to what he says. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you ever doubt the word of God, and you ever doubt the validity and the truth of the Word of God, just go back to the Word of God and let it be its own critic. Set its own example. Praise God. You can find that every promise that God has ever made has been accomplished. Every prophecy that God ever made has been accomplished. Everything that God said was going to happen has happened when God has said it. Not only does the Bible verify that, history itself records it. History itself backs it up in so many instances. William Albright, one of the greatest archaeologists America ever produced, left Johns Hopkins University to go to the Middle East with nothing in his hand but a Bible, the Word of God. He was an atheist, and he was going to prove once and for all the fallacy and the inaccuracy and the errors that were recorded in the Word of God, and several years later returned back to the United States, returned back to Johns Hopkins University, a born again Bible believing Christian, because he found that the Word of God was as true as he'd been told that it was. And he could find nowhere in all of his archaeological searching that it was wrong. Jesus told his disciples, said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And I'm going to be delivered into the hand of the sinful men. And they're going to crucify me. And they're going to lay me in a tomb. Oh, but he said on the third day, amen. He said, you tear this temple down, and in 3 days, I'll build it back up. He said, on the third day, you can rest assured that I'm going to rise again. He said, don't even doubt it. Don't even worry about it. I must go do this. It's something I have to do. But praise God, on the third day, you can be assured. You can come to the tomb, and you're not going to find me there. The obstacle to believing the validity and the truth of God's word has been proven to be true by the empty tomb. Right. Amen. The prophecy of Isaiah 53, wholly and completely fulfilled. The prophecies of God's word throughout the annals of time has been proven. The exact words that Jesus spoke and the exact things that Jesus told them was going to happen has happened just as Jesus said they were going to happen. And praise God, you can't get any more accurate than that. Amen. It amazes me how scholars can take a little fragment of some little clay tablet that they have found from some ancient civilization. Amen. And they can tell you all the stuff and all these truths out of some little piece of clay that they have found buried somewhere in the desert. And they can build you up this whole story and this whole scenario, but they have the whole truth of the Word of God before them and will deny it, reject it, and refuse it, irregardless of the truth that it's told, the truth that is preached, the truth that it represents. God's word is true. The empty tomb removes the obstacles. It's settled. Amen. It's settled. The obstacle to believing in the resurrection is settled because the stone has been rolled away. You say, yeah, but that don't mean a thing, preacher. Anybody could have rolled that stone away and they could have just done anything they wanted to do. Well, they had a Roman guard there guarding that tomb to make sure that the body wasn't stolen. Amen. Let's get that right. History. Amen. Pontius Pilate gave them a guard, set a seal upon it. Amen. And they guarded that tomb. The only thing that chased them soldiers away from that tomb, and you know, to leave their post and to let something happen that wasn't supposed to happen, amen, made them guilty. And they had to pay the consequence. Their life was on the line. So they wasn't just going to let anybody come in and steal Jesus' body. Amen. So what's that got to do with anything? Well, number one, we know it wasn't stolen. Amen. Number two, when they looked in, they seen the grave clothes laying there. Amen. Well, go back to number one. If you're going to steal a body, you wouldn't take the time to take the grave clothes off. Amen. And number two, a live man doesn't need grave clothes anymore. Amen. If he was still dead, he would still be wrapped in his grave clothes, in his grave linens. But praise God, he didn't need them any longer. And he laid them down and he left the tomb so that we can know that he had risen from the dead, just like he said. Amen. Not only did he rise and leave evidence there of the resurrection in the tomb, the Bible tells us there were many witnesses. At one time, above 500 that seen him at one time. Amen. He's a risen Savior. The obstacle to your unbelief has been settled. It's removed. You can trust him because he's done what he said he was going to do. He's done what no man has ever been able to do. He's conquered death. He's defeated the grave. Amen. The obstacle to God's grace, he is taken away. The obstacle that we place in front of salvation. We just don't believe that God could love us. We don't believe that God could care for us enough to save us like he said he was going to do. Well, certainly it has to be different. Certainly I've got to change. No, we're saved by grace. Amen. We're saved by grace. We're not saved on our merit. We're not included or excluded because there's some kind of a list to say, well, we're going to let the people with dark hair in and the people with the red hair out. Amen. He says it's something that it's available to any man and to every man. It's God's grace. It's been magnified. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know what happened when they got to the tomb? They weren't told to go away. They weren't told, you're not welcome. The angel said, come. Come. We want you to see. We want you to know. We want you to believe. We want you to have confidence in that no matter where you're at, no matter where you've been, no matter what you're doing, God's grace is available to you. We see the Mary Magdalene and supposedly her reputation. We see that many that came to Jesus found grace in his sight. Many that came to him who were undeserving in the eyes of man and in the eyes of the law found grace in the eyes of Jesus. And now the empty tomb is made available. It's left open for all to see and for all to know that the Savior has risen, that the Savior has completed His earthly ministry. He's become the sacrifice that was slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was laid in a borrowed tomb, and He was accepted of God, and He rose again for our justification. Amen. And the angel said, come. Come, we want you to see that. And you know what? As brokenhearted as they were, I like that scripture over in Peter, I think it is. Peter or James. It says, and God giveth more grace. You know what that tells me? That the grace of God, as long as we live in the dispensation of grace, is inexhaustible. Amen. And no matter how many times we need to find grace for the situation that we're in, there's always an ample supply. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Amen. He tells us over there in Peter or James, I forget where it is, that I give more grace. My grace is always sufficient. My grace will always meet the need. My grace will always be available. Come, you can see. Come, there's no more obstacles to coming unto me. There's no more law. The law has been completed. The law has been fulfilled. The law has been abolished. And grace has took its place. And He says, come, come. No matter what depths you've sunk to, no matter what things you've done, He says, come, come. There's nothing on this earth that can restrain you from the grace of God. He says, come. He says, come. Grace has been settled. The obstacle to accepting God's grace has been removed. And lastly, and this is the one so many of us have the biggest problem with, it's the obstacle of serving the risen Savior. Well, God, I would, but. God, I could, but. God, I will, but. Amen? Anybody ever been there? God, I could be more faithful to church, but. God, I could live a cleaner life, a better life, but. God, I could be a better witness, but what? The obstacles are removed. Amen? The obstacle has been removed. Matthew 28, verses 7 to 10. The angel says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, and lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Death couldn't claim him. The grave couldn't keep him. Hell couldn't defeat him. And nothing outside of glory can silence him. So let's go and tell the story of Jesus. That blessed old story of how Jesus loved me the way that he did. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But praise God, he didn't stay dead. And because he didn't stay dead, praise God, the obstacle for serving him has been removed. And I want to tell the whole world that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That ought to be our foremost goal in life. Whether we do it through song, whether we do it in preaching, whether we do it handing out tracts. You know, y'all got a tract this morning. Anybody get a tract? Everybody got a tract this morning? You know what that tract's for? That's to give somebody and tell them about Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's to let each one of you have the opportunity sometime this week to be a missionary, to be a storyteller, to be a co-laborer with us in Christ for Jesus. The obstacles have been removed. There's an empty tomb. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to hold you back. We're commanded to go into the world and tell the folks that need to hear the message that Jesus saves. All about Jesus. Jesus commanded us not just to go and tell the brethren, but a little bit further there in verse chapter 28, Matthew, he says, go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Go tell them the blessed old story. Go see souls saved, souls baptized, and lives changed. Go tell them that whatever darkness and whatever fear and whatever trouble and whatever trial that they're going through, they don't have to worry about it anymore, because the obstacles to their help has been removed. Because Jesus lives, the song says, I can face tomorrow. I got news for you. Because Jesus lives, I can live today. Because Jesus lives, I can live for all of eternity. Because Jesus lives in my heart. Because one day I invited him in. One day I realized, as the Bible said, that I was a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I realized I was on a straight highway, on the fastest route to hell that you could get on. But I had heard the blessed old story all my life. I'd heard the blessed old story time and time again. And I refused and I rejected. And I turned it away many times, but one day, the realization that I was a sinner on my way to hell struck home. And by the grace of God, when I called upon his precious name, he saved my soul. And he made a change in me. And I've not always done right, looked right, been right, but praise God, I've always found him to be right there. I've always found him willing to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I've always found him to be everything that I needed when I thought I had everything that I needed and I realized that I didn't. This morning, the obstacles that we build up, the obstacles that the devil tells you are in the way of your coming to Jesus and walking with Jesus and living for Jesus and being close to Jesus, have all been taken away. And this morning, no matter what you need, the stone has been rolled away. The stone has been removed so that you have access, so that you can know that your faith can be assured, that you can have confidence, and that you can do what it is that he wants you to do. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, let's get a song of invitation.